In listening to the reading from Proverbs, it seems that the superwoman syndrome has been alive and well for a very long time. A very, very long time. The teacher, the instructor of wisdom, would have a capable wife do it all, plus some, and all for the good of her husband. For some of us, the directive set forth by this teacher might seem offensive. The woman described in Proverbs is a workaholic, a relentless type A who seeks no gain for herself, but only for the good of her husband and children, those in her care. Although this description of the good wife might offend, many of us can relate to this. Women today are consummate jugglers. We have careers, families, volunteer commitments, church, grocery shopping, cooking, and cleaning. The list can go on and on and on. What we may not realize, or what we may forget, is that every single thing we do, big or little, is important to God. And this is not just for women, this is for everyone, each and every one of us. Have you ever considered that God is a part of everything you do, every moment of every day? If you haven't, it's time to. God is not a Sunday-only thing. God is ever-present, ever-involved. While some would have us think that God is some great trickster, always waiting for us to mess up, ever waiting for us to make a mistake so that he can prove our guilt, it seems much more that God is the parent or even coach, waiting on the sidelines, standing in the background, waiting for us to ask for help. Watching to see when we fall and scrape our knees so that he can reach out his loving hand to help us. And we will fall and skin our knees and our elbows and our hearts. And God will be there to pick us up and mend us and put us back together if we will let God do that. The problem that we encounter is our need to be right, our need to be in control, our need to be large and in charge. Jesus was going along the way with his disciples, Mark tells us. And as Mark tells us, Jesus was always moving, always on the go, never stagnant. He was trying to have some private time with his closest followers, and he was trying to tell them the best he could what was going to happen. How things were going to go down, that it was not all going to be good, that he was going to be betrayed, killed, and that he would rise again. They didn't understand. They were too busy arguing. And what they were arguing about was who was going to be greatest. Can you believe it? They were worried about who was going to be senior warden and junior warden. After everything he had said to them about healing the sick and taking care of those in need, what they argued about was who was going to be in key positions. Go figure. But that's what they did. And they were right there at the side of Jesus, listening to everything he told them about how they should live. They thought they should live in a fine kingdom, like the kingdom they knew. The kingdom of the Romans. That was the empire they knew, and it was grand. The Roman Empire had quite a spread, and those who were the greatest, were given not only the highest regard, but all the accoutrements that go with it. The disciples, those who had been fishermen and tax collectors and all sorts of folks from all sorts of backgrounds, saw Jesus as a lottery ticket just waiting to be cashed in. It seems they forgot their lesson from Scripture, the Scripture that they had grown up with, the Old Testament. It seems that they forgot that God is partial to the underdog. But Jesus told them, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. That's the requirement. It's not a small requirement. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. We want what we believe is our due. We want what we think our status deserves. Being last of all is not something that we come to easily. We do not want to be looked down on. Our place, our status is very important. Control and status are the things we value most, and the word deserve is our downfall. The ad in the Swanee paper read, older home in a quiet neighborhood. It was on the domain at Swanee and seemed the perfect place to rent for the summer. After all, nothing could be bad at Swanee. Cute little stone cottages like all the rest, or a cedar cabin would be a perfect fit. After driving around in a circle for about 10 minutes and not seeing the house that had been rented sight unseen, there was a realization that the almost hidden house, the one with all the people on the porch, along with freezers, the bathtub in the driveway, the mounds of old tires and cars on blocks, was the one that I had rented. Not at all the cozy little hideaway that had been anticipated. We parked and were graciously shown around the house. The smell of 30 years of grease and cigarette smoke overwhelmed the bouquet of flowers on the kitchen table. After a few minutes of small talk, the host family left. And after unloading my belongings, my 8-year-old daughter looked at me and said, "It's all right if you cry now, Mama." I had left my gated community, my home on the 9th hole of the golf course, and had arrived at a place where every floor had a different slant. Every room reeked of grease and cigarette smoke. There was a bathtub in the driveway, cars on blocks, tires piled to the sky, and 4 Rottweilers in a cage that looked like they were straight from the movie The Omen. And most of all, this was my first time away from home. People like me didn't live in places like this. I took Holly's advice and cried. I sobbed. And in a few days, I realized that I was the most arrogant, prideful, wrong person. And I was ashamed. What originally was termed the shack became a place of transformation. I had overlooked the flowers that had been carefully placed on the table and the clean sheets on every bed. I had ignored all the gifts of hospitality because I thought that my place would be different than this. I should have a place of status, a place worthy of what I deserved. If truth be told, I didn't deserve the kindness and hospitality of the family who allowed me to rent their home. Thanks be to God, we do not get what we deserve. We are given so much more. TV ads constantly tell us we deserve all sorts of things, a break, a vacation, upgrades in every aspect of our lives. But what is it that we actually deserve? We don't even want to go there. Thank God we do not get what we deserve. What we get is grace if we accept it. We can work ourselves to the bone. We can obtain status and stature and standing in the world. We can be type A superwomen and men, and in the eyes of the world, we can deserve everything that the world has to offer. But what the world has to offer is nothing. What God has to offer is everything. What God has to offer us is a life of freedom, a life of absolute security, a life in which the first will be last and the last will be first. Where do you want to be in this life? This is the only life we have to live. How will we live it? As those who are first or as those who are last? As those who deserve or as those who give? Amen.